Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
He wants to, you know, take over the lead, and he's already Justin Fields, I mean, but he wants to be, you know, the best quarterback in the league. So, and he's taking the stride to, you know, be there, and then I got unbelievable faith that he will be there, and his success is my success. So, as long as he's doing good, I'm doing good. I mean, we're all doing good.
Darnell Mooney quietly had a pretty solid statistical season last year, and they are looking to him to be the best wide receiver on the Bears, which is not a great achievement, but he's going to matter.
I think he's already that, but that's not good.
No, it's we always get back to that horrible 2017 with Kendall Wright, and that don't make me read that list of wide receivers again, because you'll throw up. Because it's really bad. It's all-time bad, even for Bears wide receiver history, where they're still led receptions and yards in a season. Still Johnny Morris, I believe, has both records. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Deontay Thompson, Marcus
Wheaton. Stop! Weedon. That's enough!
I told you
that
not to.
That is enough, sir.
You didn't gotten a Dontrell Inman yet, so don't even go. But it's all about Justin Fields. We heard some good stuff yesterday, I thought.
Yeah, Greg Olsen was on with us, and he was fantastic. The whole interview was great, and I highly recommend that you go listen to the whole thing. But we asked him about Justin Fields, and I wanted to get into some specifics on how to evaluate Justin Fields from year one to year two.
When you're talking about the quarterback position, you know, so we'll just focus on quarterback, obviously, with Justin. Everyone's going to look at the box score, and everyone wants to see 22 for 30 for 240 yards and two touchdowns, right? Like, everyone's so enamored with statistics and yardage. And don't get me wrong, this is a production-based league. You are judged by your production. But I think early on, right, and, you know, you think of the games last year, it's body language, it's control, it's demeanor on the field. It's, all right, you just threw a pick the next drive. Does the coach allow you to come out and throw it the next three plays, or is it handoff, 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 punt? What, you know, I think those sort of things tell you all you need to know, both about how the team feels about him and then how his own personal self-talk, right? Does he run? Does he take the field that next play, and the first time he has a chance after a pick, he just lets one rip and fits one into the gap? Or does he throw a bunch of little checkdowns because he's scared to throw another one? So I think it's kind of reading between the lines and not being so enamored with passing stats and where is he in the rankings and his cube. How does he manage the game? How does he handle adversity? Is he the leader that everyone on the sidelines is coming to when things aren't good? You know, those are the sort of things that tell you a lot about a young player. We all know he's talented. We all know that if surrounded by the right guys and the right system, that he can play at a high level. It's the other things that if I was a Bears fan, those are the things I would be looking at. Especially if you're not a team that's going to be competing for a Super Bowl this year, or, you know, however the you know, as you said, however the roster shakes out. So, like, to me, that stuff is so important in telling me what is this guy's future. And that's why I came away last year watching him. I know some of his games weren't pretty and they weren't perfect, but every time I left, there was something about him that I liked. And I think for young players at any position, let alone quarterback, their demeanor and how they respond and handle themselves is a great indicator of future success.
Okay.
I hate that we're here again.
Well, one of the things that he said sparked something. And I was like, oh. So I wrote it down while we were talking with Greg Olsen, and then I went back. I did this interview, and it's funny because on the old Noon to Two show, Ray and I have been talking about me bringing this interview up. I did this interview with Sean King, the former Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback for House of L. And we were talking about his career and everything else. But obviously, I wanted to get his thoughts on Justin Fields. I want to see what he sees when he's looking at Justin Fields. So I asked him about Justin Fields and how Justin Fields can get better. See if you can pick up on something that Greg said.
Well, the first thing I would tell Justin Fields, you can't walk in a building looking like $10 and think they're going to pay you $10 million. And I would be talking about how he plays quarterback. Your body language is bad. So I just make a cut up of Justin looking like he's pouting, like his energy is off, like his confidence isn't right. And I would say to Justin, would you follow this person? Would you let this person lead you? And his answer, if he's honest, is going to be no. I was like, so that's the first thing we could change because that's the easiest. We got to show up and practice. And if we don't want to be there, fake it. I was like, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, we get to play football for a living, right? This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You're never going to get the benefit of the doubt because of what you look like. So we have to change the narrative. You've got to be a high-energy guy. You've got to be a guy that's positive. You got to be a guy that people gravitate to. Like, this is how we're going to get better. And then we start working on his fundamentals because he's got the arm talent and he's got the athletic ability to be really special. But his body language is terrible. And when your body language is terrible, it's very hard to be productive. You know, it's one of the issues with James Harden. You know, James Harden may be a great guy, but when you watch him play basketball, there are times when you look at James Harden and say, man, he don't really want to be out there, do we?
Wow.
He must have had a bad day. And he must have something going on. When I watch Justin Fields from afar, I get that feeling way too much. And so that would be the first thing I would change.
So hearing Greg bring up body language and then knowing what Sean had said about body language, and Sean, wow. After he was done playing, he spent a lot of time coaching and working with quarterbacks and doing it at the college level, coaching quarterbacks. So when I heard that, I was like, oh, and it made me think, oh, we're back here again. We're back to this place of we're looking at the body language of a quarterback and adding that into our assessment of how good the quarterback is.
All right, so here's what's going to be weird is that the analyst that I was regarding all the Jay Cutler stuff of, look, forget all this. Can he throw the ball? Can he put it there? I don't care if he's shrugging. I don't care if he's rolling his eyes, whatever he's doing. Can he put it there? It turned out that the body language critics were onto something. The people who didn't like the Cutler, everything that we know about what he actually is and what actually did matter, what everybody said they were sick and tired of and weren't motivated to play for and just didn't like, came through in how he carried himself. It did. I admit it. I was wrong. I thought that this just really isn't important and get over it. It's all after the fact that if you win, nobody cares about your body language. But afterward, part of the reason they didn't win because no one ever really wanted to play for him and with him, and his teammates didn't care about him. It did come through in his body language. So I have to learn the lesson of that mattering for a Bears quarterback on the downside.
Trying to determine how much of it matters. That's the really hard part. And hearing two guys that played in the NFL talk about it, saying that there is some significance. And remember, who was Greg Olsen's quarterback for a while? Mm-hmm. That's in what he thinks about the position. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe there's something there. The difference for now is we are talking about someone who he only has to unlearn one bad pro year. One of the reasons that I think Jay Cutler struggled beyond his own failings and his Javier Baez type way of having a crazy ego and letting the ego get in the way. But I think one of the reasons that he failed is there was so much failure for him that kept getting piled up. And then you have to unlearn it. and unlearn it and fight through it and unlearn it.
Start fresh. Yep.
So the good thing about this for Justin Fields is that if there was some of that, like maybe there was, like maybe he didn't appreciate the way that the last regime brought him along.
After the Browns game, that has to break every bit of trust you've got.
Well, there's that, and there's also the way I contend that either he needed to be the one, no doubt, from the moment things start, or the three. The way that they went about making Justin Fields the two, to me, was silly. This idea of, well, we're going to use you in gadget plays, and we're gonna do this stuff.
This is a trigger for me. You don't say Andy. Don't say Andy.
What about Andy?
Just don't say Andy.
I've now been pushed into the place where I would have made him the one, but I would have understood he's going to sit and he's going to develop another way. He's going to develop with just the practice squad stuff, the scout team stuff. But what they were like is they went, it was a half measure to me.
They did everything.
It starts with how we feel about Andy.
Stop it!
It was his year, just like it was Mike Glennon's year.
You couldn't ask him about Justin without them answering Andy.
I'm not an idiot.
Yeah. I will give him the benefit of the doubt that he had every right last year to be completely miserable.
Yes!
Because I was. You know his bad body language during Bears games? Me.
Yes.
My body language during Bears games, my actual language, my body language, my digestive system, everything is bad.
Because, dog.
Well, now that's right. Oh, no, White Sox baseball, right? Last time I had a dog, it was killed by White Sox baseball.
Well, maybe the White Sox, they've won 5 out of 7, so.
I didn't even think about that.
Maybe.
What?
Yeah, White Sox baseball.
You don't know this story?
I don't.
White Sox baseball killed Dan's dog.
The 07 White Sox. Killed by dog.
Go on.
That's it. She watched. It was on a lot, and then she was dead. And she just gave, she lost the will to live, and she was not feeling well. And we took her to the vet, and the vet's like, yeah, this is a done dog. And I'm like, really? Okay. Well, and that was it. And it was because of, like, Andy Gonzalez and whoever else. Piece of garbage baseball team. It was clinical. The vet said it. The vet said, oh, this is clearly white. This is 2007 White Sox.
72-90, a couple of years after the World Series, right?
Oh, God. It was, they were so bad.
Ron Mikoviak, I like it.
Yeah. Don't just, he can play outfield, just don't hit a ball to him.
So what I'm hearing is you don't need to buy another dog, Dan. Jerry Reinsdorf owns you a dog.
No.
He owes you a dog.
No, I'm good. I'm just a little worried over the week. If the White Sox play badly, this dog could get very, very sick.
Danny Rishar.
Danny Rishar.
I am concerned about jazz this hands, Baltimore series.
Right? Danny Rishar. Wasn't he jazz hands when he ran?
Hey, Ryan Buckfitch is on this one.
What kind of pitcher are you?
Yeah, right-handed.
Right-handed.
Oh, God, don't make me revisit
this
that.
This is awesome.
No, Toby Hall.
No, it's terrible. Oh, no, that was pre-Toby Hall, wasn't it?
No, he was on the 07 White Sox.
Yes, he was.
Alex Cintron.
Do you remember when Jermaine Dye, like, punched Toby Hall because Toby Hall wanted to, after a game, he, like, was going to dump water out of something? And Jermaine is like, get away from me, you brotastic penis. He just gave him a full stiff arm. Oh, God, I hated that team. Yeah, so that killed my dog. So, wait, where were we? We were talking about Justin Fields and him being completely miserable. And I'm willing to cut him some slack because it's got to suck to have to keep lining up as the Bears quarterback last year.
Well, knowing that they did not prepare you for that Cleveland game and then seeing how they just left you out there to just get destroyed by that defense. And then the waffling, like the Andy Love, when everyone knew, like anyone that was paying any attention at all to the Bears last year knew, oh, well, Dalton's, first of all, they went and got Dalton first. They went and did that first before they knew that they were in a position to go get Justin Fields. And to me, once you got Justin Fields, everything changes. No matter what you promised, no matter what you thought the season was going to be, when the front office is like, you know what? I think we've got a chance to go get a quarterback. Let's go. Let's trade our draft capital as per usual, and let's go get a quarterback. Once you trade for Justin Fields, then everything should have gone towards the development of Justin Fields. But when you have coaches that are at cross purposes with the front office, and we saw as the season went on, Ryan Pace trying desperately to detach himself from Matt Nagy, and we started seeing the reports, and the national broadcasters were all of a sudden drawing a line and
what do you think I was thinking about when I asked Greg about that yesterday?
The distinctions between what's happening with the coaching staff and what's happening with the personnel. So, yes, I, too, understand that Justin Fields is a human being, and we have to take that into account. I think it's a little bit different from Cutler just because we're talking about one season of it, and hopefully he rebounds. But there was interest to me that NFL players think that's significant. Both of those guys went into depth into their answer.
Sean King even said he would make a cut-up of his how he looks, whether it's in between plays or after a given play, slumped shoulders. You know who did that? And you know that for me to remember this or for me to give this guy credit for having this work is wasn't always the biggest fan. But Mike Krzyzewski figured out one day that he had enough of Bobby Hurley's body language. And he found it to be mopey, defeatist, entitled, and peevish.
There's three more dwarves.
I was just going to say, which basically has been the entire Duke student body for certainly the last half century. You pretty much described everybody. Like I said, everybody I went to college with is Brett Kavanaugh. So,
except for Ala Abdelnaby.
Except for, see, Ala was too cool for Duke. Ala was awesome. Ala's a complete idiot, but he's hilarious. And we should find Ala. Write his name down. He was doing some stuff for CBS Sports. Ala's the truth. That was my dude. He was so funny. He's the guy that he once tried to check into a game and he forgot to put his pants on.
Hey, what happened?
Pulled the snap offs.
Like, oh.
And he didn't have any shorts on. And
he's that's like, not going to work.
He said to the coach. And he's like, and the coach looks at him like, are you kidding me? It was just hysterical. So anyway, he put this video together. He said, Bobby, this is what you look like. You're the point guard. You're the quarterback. This is what everybody sees. And it's a pass, maybe a guy didn't catch it. He rolls his eye. I mean, it was bad. And the point being, grow up. People looking to you. Doesn't matter how old you are, you're the point guard. You might not be the tallest guy out there. You might not look like a basketball player. You're the point guard. Act like it. And it mattered. They won a national championship.
Leadership is a really nebulous thing. It's hard to define. And with the quarterback position in leadership, it's hard to define too. And growing into it isn't easy. Just because you're the quarterback doesn't necessarily mean that you have the leadership skills. In most cases, it does. Usually that person finds their way into leading.
I think he does, though.
I think he's got the stuff.
There's no way all these people are wrong. All these coaches we've talked to, whether it's been collegiately or all of the private coaches we've talked to, countless experts have been. You've interviewed them. I've interviewed them. And they all rave about his makeup. What aren't we seeing?
I don't know. But learning how to lead at the professional level is different. The idea of leading men is different than leading boys to men.